And when you think of these people that are very ill and they're not really getting healed, that God has His perfect will for each one of us individually and all those people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem with even Christians is that we get bitter when we don't get our way, when God has His way and it's not your way.
Welcome to the weekend edition of Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Ries in Diamond Bar, California. When Raul began having flashbacks from combat in Vietnam, he thought PTSD would end his ministry. Then God's miraculous healing restored Raul's heart and mind. For his inspiring story, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. We're glad to have you along today for Raul's message from the Gospel of Mark. Exploring Christ's desire and ability to restore broken lives, you'll see how He offers emotional, spiritual, and physical healing to all who come to Him with a sense of their own neediness. Today's lesson focuses in on Jesus' work on behalf of a chronically ill woman and a terminally ill child. If you have your Bible, turn with us now to Mark chapter 5, verse 21, as Raul Ries begins today's lesson, The Power of Healing.
And at this particular moment, as we'll begin to see, that there's a situation going on here with not only Jesus, but the people that He was going to be speaking to. And we're going to see a woman that is very, very sick and a little girl that dies. And how God does the work. And how God has His perfect timing. But many times as He's trying to do a miracle, a lot of times He might be doing two miracles or three miracles or four miracles. Let's read the story and see what He says. Beginning with verse 21, we see His audience. And now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, that's the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. He says, a great multitude gathered to Him and He was by the sea. So all these people constantly. On the other side, multitudes. On this side, multitudes. It seemed that these multitudes were constantly following Jesus to get something from Jesus. So we see the life of Jesus, their request now. Verse 22. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And this is so cool because here's Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. And he has a little girl that is very, very sick. He doesn't know what to do. And when you talk about these rulers were in charge of the arranging of the services that were taking place and also the affairs of the synagogue. That's who he was. And so he not only is busy all the time at the synagogue, but now he hears that his little girl is sick, so he comes to Jesus. Verse 23, his request. And he begged Jesus earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live. First of all, I see his request. Now, I know that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we really need to make sure what we're asking for. And when you make your request, you have to stand back, you have to wait, and then you have to see what God is going to do in your request. If it's according to His will, then He'll do whatever He has to do. Many times we come to the Lord and we make a selfish request that the only person is going to benefit, it's me. And the Lord knows our hearts, so we have to really be careful when we ask for things from the Lord. What are your situations? What are your problems that you find yourself in? Who are you praying for? And this is why we come to the house of the Lord. And here Jesus is moving about. And then here comes his Jairus and says, Lord, can you please come? He says, I have a little girl. Verse 23, he begged earnestly, saying, my little girl lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. So somehow He already had been watching Jesus on the miracles and wonders that he was doing. Already. I mean, otherwise, why would he come to him for the healing of his daughter? Another thing that I saw here, his faith. You know, he came believing. If I tell Jesus, Jesus is going to heal my little girl. Now, this person here, Jairus, at this particular moment, as I read the story, somehow, as he saw the miracles and wonders, but he had this faith to believe that Jesus was a healer, that he could heal his daughter. But at the same time, he was healing him because he was coming to salvation, which is so awesome that when we come to the Lord, we don't really know what he's going to do or how many people he's going to touch when you come to Jesus. So then he says, verse 24, and the Lord listened. Notice he listens and he acts. And Jesus went with him. Notice that. Out of all those multitudes, one person comes to him and he follows him. They're behind him. All these hundreds of people are following him. Notice with him and they thronged him. I mean, they were following and there was no room. Just shoulder to shoulder. Verse 25 to 29. Second miracle here. He says in verse 25, and now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She was hemorrhaging. 12 years. She had gone to every doctor, spent all her money on this thing that she had, and they couldn't do nothing about it. And so here we have this woman, 12 years, totally bleeding. And then he says in verse 26, and had suffered many things. Notice many things, not only that, from many physicians, which means she spent all her money on physicians and they could not help her. They could not help her. And when you think of these people that are very ill and they're not really getting healed, that God has his purposes and God has, notice, his perfect will for each one of us individually and all those people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem with even Christians is that we get bitter when we don't get our way, when God has his way and it's not your way. And that's where we have to really be careful that we don't overstep our bounds. Because here the scripture is confessing that she suffered many things from many physicians and she had spent all that she had and was no better than, but she grew worse. Her solution, no solutions. She got worse and worse and worse to the point where she saw Jesus and she thought, well, maybe he can heal me. She'd been hearing about it. She'd been watching. He's on his way to Jairus' house because the little girl is sick. She's 12 years old and she's been 12 years in, notice, deceased. Incredible. 12-year little girl, 12 years a woman that has been totally hurting. And I wonder this morning, within each one of our hearts, what seems to be in your life that you want God to touch your life even here this morning? Maybe you're sick. I don't know about that, if you're sick. Or maybe you came here this morning because you know someone that is sick and you've been praying for them. And it's like this woman, she's following all these people. She can't even get to Jesus. All these multitude of people. But persistency. She says, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to follow, and I'm going to do what God can do in my life, and I'm going to take a jump of faith. That's what she did. She took a jump of faith. When is the last time you took a jump in faith in your life? Do you really say, I trusted the Lord and he provided? I trusted the Lord and he healed me. See, we don't see a lot of miracles and wonders today where we can really say, you know, I put my faith in him and he really touched my life. I talk to a lot of people that have been sick and they're totally bitter against God. Christians, bitter against God. Or people that have loved ones that are rich and they're not rich. So they get bitter. God, why would you bless them? How come you didn't bless me? We're in the same family. And then expecting for that family to take care of you, which they have no responsibility to do that. That's something that we need to be careful with. That if we don't have what other people have, we should never covet after those things. That we have to be satisfied, content in what God has given to me. Otherwise, bitterness comes up. And sometimes even murder. Because of the hate that's in people's hearts. And so this morning, I just want to share that with you guys to really be careful. Because in the lesson this morning, we're watching this woman that not only is hurting, 12 years seeking for hope. How can I get touched by something to be healed? Doctors can't do anything. But I heard about a rabbi that is here. He's been teaching, he's been preaching, and he's been healing people. Maybe he can heal me. So I'm going to take a leap of faith and see what happens. Verse 27, and when she heard about Jesus, there it is. I heard about Jesus. She came behind him. She's starting to sneak in through all the crowds. Coming behind him. And you know, it's behind the crowd. And what does she do? She stands up by faith and she touches his garment. She reaches out and just touches the garment. That's all she did. I mean, you say, well, what would that do? Just to reach out and touch a garment. That's a step of faith. Jesus is walking away and you step out and touch his garment. Verse 28. And for she said, this is what she said in her mind. If only I may touch his clothes. He doesn't have to talk to me. He doesn't have to touch me. But I'm going to touch him and see what happens. And what was she doing? Demonstrating her faith in the Lord. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, notice, I shall be made whole. I shall be healed. I will be healed. It's not some impositive confession she was speaking out, but her faith. She'd seen already Jesus healing people. And she said, well, maybe if I step out by faith and I go behind him and try to get to the crowds and I can barely reach him, I just touch his garment, maybe see what happens. And what happens? He gets healed. But something happens to the Lord when this happens. Verse 29. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. Boom. Healed. Instantly. Can you imagine her feelings? Spending all this money on her infirmities. And then just like that, she's healed by the great physician, Jesus. Let me see, maybe it's going to take 12 years for God to heal you. It's God's perfect timing for everything that he does. And many times if he doesn't heal, it's for a purpose. For a purpose. You don't know that purpose. I don't know that purpose. But I know he's in control. And I know that he's going to use what I have. I don't know for what, but he's going to use it for his glory. So I want to comfort you this morning in that area of your life. Don't think that God's forgotten you, that God hates you, he doesn't want to touch you. Because he does want to touch you, and maybe he's already touched you. I mean, the moment she touched the garment of Jesus, immediately the fountain of her blood dried up. Just like that. Just like that. And then she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. She knew, wow, something happened. I feel different.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ries. Stay with us for more encouragement to look to Christ with faith and expectation as you wait on his plan for your life. Now, after the lesson today, we'll tell you about a CD pack that explores what it takes to fully surrender to Jesus. For additional resources to guide you in a life well lived for Christ, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Now let's get back to more with Raul Ries and the conclusion of today's message, the power of healing.
When I was getting my appendix out, and I told you the story before, we were buying this building, and they said I had leukemia. So they called my whole family because I guess I wasn't going to make it. And I called Chuck and Greg, and they started praying for me. And 3 days later, one of the specialists on blood, she came in, and she says, I want to tell you something, you know, it's all gone. And it was so cool because I felt in my heart, I felt this peace in my life, and I felt like my body had been healed. Kind of like this woman here. I felt, wow, you know what? I feel different. I really feel different, Lord. And then I found out that I was healed. There's been other situations in my life that I felt nothing, and yet God came through because he's God. And this woman must have felt kind of in a position to say, well, you know what? Now I can walk away and I can do whatever I want to do. He'll never know that I touched him. But he does know. He does know. Even as he knows your infirmities, he knows you are there. Verse 30, he says. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself, that power had gone out of him. Notice what it says. Power had gone out of him. Jesus was walking and all of a sudden, uh-oh, who touched me? You see, he's in control. He knows who's behind him. He knows who's in front of him. He knows who's to the left, who's to the right. He's aware of everything. He's omnipresent. He can see everything. He hears everything. He doesn't have to be just with me. He's with us all together. And that's why he's God. His Holy Spirit has been sent out. When the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost came upon 120 of them, 30 were there from all nations, and they heard them being baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they said, we hear them speak in our own dialect, in our own dialect, the wonderful works of God. They were praising God. Praising God. And what did Peter do? He stood up and gave the interpretation. They're worshiping God. Jesus is so amazing the way he does things. And then he comes to Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle goes to heaven, comes back, and says, there are no human words to tell you what I saw and what I heard. Imagine that. What I heard and saw, there's no words. And what did the Lord do? The Lord gave him a thorn on his side so that he would never say anything. And that thorn in his side went forever until the day he died. Paul asked him 3 times, and the Lord said, don't ask me again. My grace is sufficient for you. Amen, Lord. Your grace is sufficient for me. Again, he says in 29, immediately her fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt her body that she had been healed from affliction. 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing himself, the power had gone out of him, turned around to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? I mean, he's God, okay? He knows. But he wants to see that woman to come forward in her faith. Lord, I am the one. Who's the one that touched me? I love the way he does it here. Verse 31. But his disciples, here are the good old disciples. But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? You got to be kidding me, Lord. Well, I mean, which one? Which one? But the woman knew. The woman knew, verse 32. And he looked around to see her, you see? She's in the multitude, but who does he concentrate on? Her, sees her. They're kind of eye to eye now. Notice, to see her who had done this thing, he knew. But the woman, here's her humility. And the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. It's a good conversion. Conversion and healing because of humility in the woman's life. Knowing what had happened to her, she came and she fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She's already been having problems with her issue for 12 years, and then all of a sudden, in 1 second, she's healed. And she didn't have to pay nothing because Christ paid it all through the cross. And that's why this woman was healed. In verse 34, he says, and he said to her daughter, underline this, your faith, see, believing, your faith has made you well. And the word well here in the Greek is the word to save, that normal word in the New Testament, or for saving from sin. So not only I healed you, I made you well, but I also saved you. Isn't that cool? I also saved you. You've accepted me. I love the way the scriptures speak without defending themselves. The way God speaks. And he said to her daughter, notice the intimate relationship with her. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. No more turmoil. We should never have any more turmoil, even when we come to church or you're at home, because Jesus is with us and Jesus touches you every day. Look what he says. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And then verse 35, and while he was still speaking, so here he is in the midst of this, and while he's still speaking, from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, your daughter's dead. While he gave life to one, on the other side, death. Imagine that. How do you think Jairus felt? Being with Jesus, watching this woman be healed, and now he hears that his daughter's dead? He probably could have got very bitter and said, Lord, I'm the first one that went to you. The first shall be last, the last first. Isn't that interesting? We see the hand of God completely and perfectly here as he receives this news and this bad news. He just finished healing a woman, and they're walking, going through the home, and all of a sudden, the guy comes out and says, your daughter's dead. And then he says, why trouble the teacher any further? In that culture, you die, they bury you the same day. And what's really cool about this, look what he says. And while he was still speaking, he came, one of the rulers. He says, why trouble you the teacher any further? And then he says this. And as soon as Jesus heard the words that had been spoken, he heard it. He knew already, he's spoken. He said to the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, only believe. Isn't that cool? Look, as long as I'm with you, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to get bitter. We're going to go to your house. And I'm going to show you that your daughter is not dead, but that she will rise again. And then he says this in verse 37. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the three that were with him all the time, the brother of James. And then he says, this is the inner circle, verse 38. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult. And those that were weeping and wailing loudly, these are professional mourners that you pay to come to your house and mourn for you. Imagine that. They get paid. And when Jesus saw them, he already knew what was going on. They're in the house and they're screaming and weeping and yelling, and they're trying to pretend that they really are sorry for the people that have died. And so they're going through this whole thing. And then the response here, verse 39, and when he came in, Jesus' response, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep, you hypocrites? Notice, the child's not dead but sleeping. And they start laughing. You gotta be kidding. Who are you to say that? She's dead. That's why we're here. We're here because she's dead. Verse 40. And they ridiculed him. Notice that. They made fun of him. They were laughing at him. Right to his face. Literally says, laughed him to scorn or laughing in his face. Man, can you imagine Jesus standing there and you're laughing right at your face? Oh, I would hate to be there on the judgment day. But when he had put them all outside, he kicked them out. He said, get outside. Go out of the room. He took the father, the mother, and the child. Three of them. And those who were with him, Peter, James, and John. And he entered where the child was lying down. And then he took the child by the hand. Okay, she's laying down by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi. Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, get up. Get up. The word in Aramaic here, Talitha, is the word lamb or youth. Lamb or youth, little lamb, get up. And she gets up. How do you think her parents reacted? They looked at Jesus and they go, Mom, this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. And immediately the girl got up and she walked. For she was 12 years old, 12-year-old little girl of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. They were so amazed at what Jesus had done. They've lost their little girl, but Jesus raises her from the dead.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson was titled, The Power of Healing. If you'd like to get your own personal copy to keep or give away, we'll send you an unedited version for a gift of any amount. Just call 800-634-9165. Well, we hope you've been encouraged to fully embrace the riches of Christ's healing, forgiveness, and restoration. For additional inspiration to entrust your life to Jesus, we'd like to offer you a 3-message series simply titled Discipleship. This CD series from Raul will walk you through the Bible to reveal the abundant life that can be yours when you count the cost and give everything to the Lord. As you make the choice to follow wherever He leads, you'll see how completely you can trust your Savior with your physical, emotional, and spiritual health. Get in touch with us to order Raul's 3-CD audio pack titled Discipleship. To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll send you this series for a gift of $18 or more. The mailing address, if you'd like to order by writing, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. For continual hope and encouragement from Scripture, we'd like to invite you to enjoy Raul's teachings on podcast. All of the Somebody Loves You Radio programs are easy to access and download through iTunes or Google Play. And you can also stream these broadcasts on all Alexa-powered devices. And today is the last day to purchase Raul's new book titled Victory at the discounted pre-sale price. Don't miss out on this exclusive online rate for a resource that will spur you on to triumph in the power of Christ. Just call us at 800-634-9165 or stop by SomebodyLovesYou.com and look for Raul's new book, Victory. We'd like to remind you that every dollar you give to Somebody Loves You Radio is carefully used to win the lost, build up believers, and bring strength to the local church. Your tax-deductible gifts are the only means of support we have, so we greatly appreciate your partnership. Now, coming up on the next Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll take a break from our study in Mark for a special Easter series celebrating the sacrifice and saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with the final word, here's Raul.
And then lastly, verse 43, his command. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. He said, don't tell anybody. How can you not tell anybody? When people know that your little girl has died, and they come to you and say, well, what happened to your little? She was dead. Now she'll can tell you, sorry. No possible way you would be telling everybody. You're not going to believe it. My little girl was dead, and Jesus touched her, and she's alive. Here she is. We would be so excited because of the miracle that Jesus did. What miracle has Jesus done, or what miracle he's going to do in your life? What's going to be your miracle today? You have to wait, you have to pray, and by faith, wait upon the Lord to see what He's going to do.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.